our goals and so on, we wouldn't expect anything but that we would be kind to each other. And yet, what happens when something is slightly out of the ordinary? It's an opportunity either for kindness or an opportunity for sharpness. What immediately leaps to our lips? Is it the law of kindness? Philippians 4, verse 1, talks about another issue, and Nathaniel was talking about this the other night in his question and answer session. The two ladies who couldn't get along. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But then it goes on and talks about others. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Or in other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The reason I chose to read this passage was that I think, once again, as Peter had mentioned in his passage, that kindness comes toward the end. Kindness is a result of a person who is at peace with God, who is at peace with his fellow man, and he or she is mature enough that kindness is a result of that. And kindness has very little to do with the person, the target of the kindness, and it has a whole lot to do with the person who is exhibiting the kindness. Because the fact is that those who deserve kindness the most, who need kindness the most, probably deserve it the very least. And if we go around deciding to whom we, who is worthy of our kindness, it says very little about that person. It says a whole lot about us. And so if we would be kind, and it's very important, I think it's important that we look at the whole spectrum of our spiritual life. Because dissonance or problems, lack of peace, guilt in our hearts is one of the primary reasons, I believe, in unkindness. That tension comes out in snappy words. The guilt comes out in a sharp rebuke. And it's a sign that all is not well with me, not that all is not well with you. And it's interesting, it says, those things, in verse 9, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Last week, I believe it was, there was something went viral online. And there's a lot of things that go viral now and again, but something that catches the public eye and explodes off the charts and gets millions of views and thousands of shares. But here's one that happened in Chicago. And you know, Chicago is not necessarily known to be a center of kindness. It's where things happen fast and in a hurry, and you better get it done, and the traffic is honking, and things are happening. And in a busy McDonald's in downtown Chicago, at lunch hour, when there were lines and lines and lines at the counter, a woman was standing in line, and a quadriplegic man was in front of her, and he was by himself. And he ordered. It took him a while to order, but when he finally got his order in, he tried to say something to the cashier, and the cashier couldn't understand him, and this lady couldn't understand him. Several people tried to help hear what he was saying, and finally they understood him to be saying, "Help me, please." And this woman that wrote in, she looked around and she said the lines were full, all the cash registers were full, and she thought, no, he's not going to help her. This young man at the counter shut down his register, went back and disappeared. She thought, well, he left. No, he didn't leave. He went, he washed his hands, he came back out, went, sat back down at the man's table, cut his food up, and fed him, bite by bite. You know, is that something that we would do? Is that something that would define us? I don't know whether this man was a Christian or not. And yet, I would think that would be the kind of thing that we would expect a Christian to do, a person who loves the Lord. And the fact is that an act like this touches us in ways that intellectual discourse and conversation never will, because it touches who we really are on the inside, not who we are on the outside. Back to the Sunday school lesson, we can say the right things. We can come up with the right arguments. We can have these beautiful insights, but who are we really? Kindness is a window into our soul, who we really are. Romans 12 says this: rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. By definition, someone who is kind to somebody else has done something that that person could not do for himself. It's by definition also, it's kindness flows from strength to weakness. And sometimes that flips our suppositions on its head when we see somebody who is supposedly weak being kind to somebody who is supposedly strong. Or we see somebody who is supposedly strong being unkind to somebody who is supposedly weak. But by definition, even if that is the case, sometimes it doesn't feel good to be kind to people. And maybe we've got an enemy, like it's talking about here in Romans, an enemy, and they have been unkind to us. We have no reason to be kind to them. They've given us nothing but trouble. Here it says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Are we willing to be strong in a situation like that? Often those who are being unkind, it's an exhibition, once again, like I said, of their weakness. And are we willing to show strength and be kind in that kind of a situation? It doesn't name kindness specifically in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, but it does say gentleness. In another place in Psalms, it says, thy gentleness, the psalmist is talking to God, hath made me strong. Gentleness is a sign of strength. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Speaks for itself more clearly than I could ever say. We know our expectation is that we're kind to cuddly things, babies and kittens. And it's obviously a sign of something seriously wrong when somebody is unkind to somebody who is helpless. It's a sign of deep troubles in a person's life. And yet, sometimes it's just a matter and we see something that is outside the ordinary, outside of our peer group, outside of our culture or our shared history. Is kindness our expectation then? I need to say here at the end too that I don't believe that kindness and honesty are enemies. I think they can share the same space. Let's look at what Psalm 85 says about this. Just one place the Bible talks about this. Psalm 85, verse 10 and 11 say this: mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Mercy and truth. Somebody says, well, I don't want to tell him the truth about himself because that would be unkind. Or if you would have truly loved me, if you would have been kind, you wouldn't have bothered me with this, or you wouldn't have brought this up. Or somebody says the other way around, we lay the truth down, and you know he didn't like it, but he needed to know, and so we laid it on thick. I was just doing him a favor, and he should have been glad for it. Someday he'll thank me. Can kindness or mercy and honesty and truth share the same space? I think they can. I know they can. You know, and sometimes it's hard to articulate the difference. And it comes down to our hearts. It's like something we know, it's something we know instinctively, or recognize it instinctively when we experience it, when it happens to us or it happens from us. And, you know, maybe can be accused sometimes of being unkind unjustly. Maybe sometimes we accuse somebody else of being unkind unjustly. If we truly love each other, if we're truly kind in the definition of, or in the aspect of wanting what's best for each other, we will not flinch in telling each other the truth. And yet, how it comes across is a lot to do with that kindness in our hearts. Maybe it's a little bit like what I read once about how people dress. I think it's nice when people dress attractively. I think that's a good thing. We should dress attractively, so the things that we wear aren't a distraction or aren't a mark against God's people. And yet there's a difference between dressing attractively and dressing to attract. It's something that we can hardly explain, and yet we see it. When it's there, there it is. You say that person is dressing to attract attention. This person is simply dressing attractively. Maybe it can be this way as well with honesty and kindness. We can say, well, all the components are there, that honesty and kindness were in the same room, and yet it's not. There's the last little jibe that got in there, the last little, you know exactly what that person thought of you. And yet when it's not that way, when kindness is in the room, it doesn't leave that same impression. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Kindness carries huge emotional weight. So does unkindness. And unkindness, I think, is one of the largest stumbling blocks we can lay in front of the little ones. And remember, who are the little ones? Sometimes we don't think that they are. Sometimes we think they're the strong ones. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Let's practice the law of kindness. Have that be something that is second nature to us. Something that we strive for. You know, I know we're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect in this area. I've got a long way to go. But I think it's crucially important. Once again, by definition, kindness flows from the strong to the weak, and unkindness is exhibited by the weak. What does that say about us? And, you know, the other thing is, of course, we have our greatest example of kindness, Jesus Christ, who, we did not deserve it, through absolutely no merit of our own, and out of no obligation to us, came to earth and died for us. What are his people modeling? That kind of behavior or selfish behavior? I'm not trying to indicate that I think this is a room full of unkind people. I'm not saying that at all. It's just something that I've been thinking about recently, and I think is crucial in our Christian walk. Let's kneel for prayer.
Father, we come before you.